Raised with a Jesus podcast, 10 minutes into the life of Jesus meets yours. I'm Dr. David Aberdeen for June 13th, 2019, looking at the second portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor males who have sex with males, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor the verbally abusive, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And some of you were those types of people. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. All things are permitted for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are permitted for me, but I will not allow anything to control me. Foods are for the belly, and the belly is for foods, but God will do away with both of them. However, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that our bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then remove the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute is one with body with her? For he says, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. This is the word of our God. Paul makes this transition as he kind of comes from just talking about lawsuits, and then all of a sudden he says the transitional statement in verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He had just finished talking about lawsuits and bringing lawsuits before unbelievers and how unchristian of an attitude that was, how the idea of taking your fellow Christian to court in a lawsuit is not in keeping with the attitude of faith. And so in connection with that, he kind of makes this transitional statement as he talks briefly about many different types of sexual immorality, which is just, you know, God's use of the body, or is sexual morality. But sexual immorality is using the body outside of the bonds of marriage between one man and one woman. But note the list. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. That includes the unbelievers that he talked about earlier in the chapter. That includes the Christians who persist in bringing lawsuits against their fellow Christians. That includes the sexually immoral, those who have lustful thoughts, those who use pornography, those who stray from their marriage, idolaters, people who put things above God, people who, you know, have other priorities and make God just one on a list of priority when they have the time, adulterers, again, those with lustful thoughts, especially those who are married, males who have sex with males, and the Greek there, you know, Paul is very straightforward. He uses a term from the Old Testament Greek translation called the Septuagint, where the Hebrew in the book of Leviticus is very straightforward about what it means. And when they translated the Old Testament Hebrew Bible into Greek, which is known as the Septuagint, that's the Greek translation of the Old Testament, they used two very specific words to designate kind of the active and the passive members in a male-to-male sexual relationship. Kind of leave it at that, but that's very descriptive. Verse 10, the thieves, you know, those who take what isn't theirs and those who do not put in a full day's work or the time for which they are paid. The greedy, those who are looking at what others have and want more than what God has given to them. Drunkards, those who misuse and abuse God's gift of alcohol and chase the buzz, you might say. The verbally abusive, those who are shaking their fists at other drivers who let their anger and their language get the best of them. Swindlers, those who cheat secretly. None of these people will inherit the kingdom of God. What a terrifying thought. It would be very simple to cherry pick and point out and say, that person over there, he's not going to heaven. That person over there, she's not going to heaven. And did you see what he did? And do you see what they are? Do you know the terms that Paul uses here? He's very serious. He's very, very serious about the words that he uses here. And don't you see that that person over there will not inherit the kingdom of God? God have mercy on us for such arrogance. God have mercy on me for such arrogance. Because he didn't give us his word to cherry pick other people. He gave us his word to bring us to repentance for our own sin. And he goes on. And some of you were, past tense, those types of people. But, what I like to call the divine but, where everything changes. But you were washed. You were sanctified. That is, your sins were washed away in the blood of Jesus, the waters of baptism. You were sanctified, set apart as holy, as God's holy people. You were justified, that is, declared not guilty, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And so we speak what God says. We don't downplay the sin, but rather we see that each sin is equally damnable in God's eyes, whether it's the sin of gossip, or the sin of secretly cheating, like swindling, or something that's a little bit more flagrant and kind of in your face, especially in this month of June that has come to be recognized as Pride Month. Well, we don't take pride in our sin. We bow our heads in repentance, say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, for being unrighteous, acting in an unrighteous fashion, being sexually immoral, idolatrous, lustful, being a thief, being greedy, not checking the covetousness of my heart, abusing your gift of alcohol. Lord, have mercy on me for the way I've spoken, the things that I've taken, and remind me of who I am, because that's who you are now. You have been washed. You have been set apart as holy. You are justified. You've been brought into a proper relationship with God. And so, because that is the case, you have been set apart as holy, God says that you have every opportunity now to serve the Lord with how you live your life. He addresses the accusations or the refrains that the Corinthians had. First of all things are permitted for me. And Paul really addresses that in two different ways here in verse 12. He says, all things are permitted for me, is what they were saying, but he's like, oh, time out, not everything is beneficial. If it doesn't, even if it is a matter of Christian freedom, if it doesn't add benefit and if it doesn't build up the fellowship that we share, then it's not worthwhile. And they say, well, all things are permitted for me. Paul's like, oh, time out, but I will not let anything control me. That's why, you know, every few months, I just take an entire month where I, you know, don't have any alcohol at all aside from the Lord's Supper. Not that I'm addicted to alcohol or an alcoholic by any stretch of the imagination. I do enjoy different types of beer and you know, scotch or whiskey or bourbon or whatever, in moderation. But I know that it's a temptation in my own family tree. And I know some of the statistics about alcoholism, and I don't want to ever get close to saying that I really need a drink right now. And so in maintaining and persisting the use of the proper use of alcohol in my own life, I take the time to say that, you know, not all things are beneficial, and I do not want to allow any sort of a foothold for this to control me. One might say the same thing about coffee or smoking, anything that really stimulates our attention or kind of relaxes us. Just to be able to say, you know, I don't need a drink right now. I don't need a smoke right now. I don't need a coffee right now, because I don't want these things to control me. I want them to remain in freedom. So Paul really addresses, yeah, not all things are beneficial. And if something is not beneficial, then don't do it. And if something has control of you, then don't use it. And their other thought, well, foods are for the belly and the belly is for foods, but God will do away with both of them. In other words, Paul, don't you get it? It's just an appetite, you know, just like the belly is there for eating and food is there to be eaten. I also have sexual urges and I just need to fulfill it. And it's just an appetite. Come on, Paul, not that big of a deal. And Paul says, time out. The body is not meant for sexual immorality and the Lord, but for the Lord. And by the way, God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up in the resurrection of all flesh at the end of time. So there in verse 13, the idea that I can do what I want with my own body is rooted in the false idea that there is no resurrection of the dead. And Paul says, on the contrary, don't you see where you really stand with the Lord, that you are a member of his body? Just like if you're married, you and your spouse are one flesh. There's no reason, and it would be absolutely incredibly wrong for someone to leave his or her marriage and to go seek out sexual activity with somebody else. And that's, Paul says, if you engage in sexual immorality, that's basically what you're doing with your Lord. Your idolatry that is adultery on your Lord. And so he says in verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. That the topic of the use of the body, the godly use of the body, is an especially ensnaring temptation. So Paul says, run away. Don't just walk away. Run away. Don't go near that part of town. Don't open up that app. Just delete it from your phone and delete the whole phone. Throw it in the lake if that's going to be a further temptation for you. Flee from sexual immorality. Why? First of all, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You as a Christian have God coming and dwelling within you physically. And then secondly, you're bought at a price. It's not for you to decide how you ought to use your body. And it's not for you to say, you know, my body, my choice in any and every realm of the use of the body, whether that's the abortion debate or the topic of sex between a male and a female outside of marriage, or any sort of homosexual relationship, the mantra of my body, my choice has no weight and no bearing. Paul says, you are not your own because you were bought at a price. So therefore, don't just think about, the temptation that you continually are beset with. But think of how you can glorify God with your body. That's a change. That's a change, not just the avoidance of the negative, as though we're walking on eggshells to try and avoid this negative activity. Paul says, glorify God with your body. That's a positive thing. It's a positive thing. And so, as you go about your day, pray for those who may be trapped in sin, sin that you don't know about, sin that may be kept hidden, sin that is especially easy during our internet age with an internet-connected device in every pocket. Sin that maybe you do know about. But most of all, pray for humility among God's people, that we not stand here as though we are the ones on the judgment seat right now, but we are the ones with a life preserver reaching out and saying, dear friend, let me rescue you from drowning in that sin and dying eternally. You can find us Wednesday nights, 7 p.m., and Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. at 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee. You could also follow us on Instagram at RaisedWithJesus. God bless your day.